The people wandered from place to place trying to find water. And after many days, they became crazed and did many foolish things. They went to the dried up riverbeds and there found many dead fish and turtles and animals that dwelt in the water. And the people cut them to pieces and threw them about, for they thought that these animals and fish were in some way responsible for the water's disappearing. While they were acting foolishly, they looked up and saw a man in the sky coming towards them from the west. A wind blew, and the man approached and lighted on the ground before them. In his hand, he carried a small green leaf. He told the people that they had not acted wisely and had abused him, and that he was angry with them. He motioned the leaf in four directions, and drops of water fell from it. Soon the waters grew in volume and rose all around the world, even to the treetops and the highest mountains, except one. To this high mountain, the man led a few of the people whom he chose, and they stayed on the mountain for 4 days, while the water rose higher and higher. As the waters rose, the man caused the mountains to rise with them. He could do this because he had greater power than the spirit of cold and heat. After a time, the waters began to go down, and the green things appeared upon the earth again. Then he led the people down from the mountain. They found that many people who had been left in the water during the flood had not drowned, but had turned into alligators and other water animals. Our second reading is from Spring Cleaning by Jacob Wisnik. Spring cleaning does not just have to mean picking up your house. It can include cleaning up the environment. You can start by planting trees, recycling, or picking up trash in your area. Just be sure to get out of the house and do something to celebrate Earth Day on April 22nd. In my home state, New Jersey, many activities are planned to help the environment. In Montclair, Whole Foods Supermarket is sponsoring a recycling project. In Elizabeth, public schools will be offering courses about water purification. My school, Solomon Schechter Day School of Essex and Union Counties, is getting involved too. We will be planting a white pine tree in honor of Earth Day. My class learned that Native Americans believe that this type of tree is a symbol of peace. Each class will be decorating the tree with ribbons that will have Shalom, the Hebrew word for peace, written on it. Find out what Earth Day activities are taking place in your community. Don't miss out. Join in Earth Day spring cleaning.
Mercy, mercy me. Lord, things ain't what they used to be. How many of you remember that song, huh? You remember that song, "That Take You Back a Ways"? Then Robert Palmer redid the song many years later and gave it fresh life and breathed new spirit, allowed another generation to think about mercy, mercy me, and what the author was trying to get at. And I guess as Earth Day approached, my mind was set to this idea of what are we doing? How much more can Mother Earth stand? Am I, as a Unitarian Universalist, doing everything in my power to make this place a better place for not just myself, but the future generations? I want to share a story with you. It's a little sad and disturbing, but it's a true story. A boy went down along the banks of the Hudson River under the George Washington Bridge near the Little Red Lighthouse. Any of you ever go there? Little Red Lighthouse. They actually have a festival now, and people come and celebrate that story. And this little boy and his buddy had boats, sailboats on strings, wooden sailboats that we had made and made some mast for it and had it so we could take it out on the water. So these two little boys are down along the banks of the Hudson River, and those boats are going out. They used kite string, so the boat's going way out and out into the Hudson, far away. Hudson's about a mile wide there, and these boats were a long way out in the river. One of the Circle Liners went past, pulled the boat from the little boy. He dropped his string, and he went along the rocks to grab it and slipped on the algae. Into the Hudson River this little boy went. This little boy was drowning. He didn't know how to swim. This little boy was troubled by what was in the river, for back in those days, in the 1960s, they used to put raw sewage into the river, and things were floating past him as he frailed in the water. This little boy sank in the river. This little boy is me, so the story ends out well. I thought I was a goner, but by some miracle, a group of people arrived and made a human chain and pulled me from that river long ago. But that experience, being in that filthy river, drowning that day, set my life on a very different course. I became I'd call myself a junior environmentalist. Started bugging my parents about everything. Started bugging them about the grapes we were getting from California and the workers out there. Started bugging them about the iceberg lettuce. Started bugging them about virtually anything and everything. Mom, you can't use bleach in the house, you know? I had hippie siblings who were all nature and granola and Birkenstock, you know, and other green things, you know. They were all busy. And I was trying to be like them. But really and truly, it was my experience of swallowing this filthy water that set me on the way towards being a caring citizen of the world. So this idea of mercy, mercy me came upon me as I was driving back from Pomona a few weeks ago. I was along the Palisade Parkway, and there were several dead animals along the roadway, and I was troubled by it. And about at that time, the song was on the radio. And I started thinking, mercy, mercy me, I'm not who I used to be. I no longer am that little boy who's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, because that's how you get to be when you're young. I'm a middle-aged man who complains about hips and knees and elbows and gray hair and receding hairline and getting up in the night to use the facility. You know, it gets rough on you as you grow a little more long in the tooth. But what really touched my heart and my spirit was the fact that that little environmentalist, that burgeoning lover of the planet Earth, had somehow allowed his life to become overly complicated, overly engaged, overly caught up in materialism and things that aren't forever. Somehow only the earth and sky, some other author wrote something about only the earth and sky last forever. And so I sat with those thoughts for quite a while, and I started to cry, because I'm prone to do that. I'm one of those weepy-eyed men. I don't know if it's the Irish in me, the African in me, or the Cherokee in me, but I'm prone to some tears when something touches my spirit. And I said, Lord, have mercy. What have I become? I no longer catch the rainwater, you know, like I used to water the garden. I stopped worrying about some of the chemicals in my house because the children aren't small anymore. And I didn't have to keep locks on the cabinets. You know, remember those things people used to lock up your cabinets? Or I had stopped being that man that was focused on caring for the creation. And so I set myself on a course, not one of self-flagellation or how we do often in this society just to beat ourselves up. You use are good at that, you know. We're not doing enough. We don't give enough to the congregation and the pledge. We don't volunteer enough. We don't do enough, and we need to do more. And I wrote these words, so let me share a little bit of this with you. I'd like to begin by saying that the beauty and grandeur of the natural world touches each and every one of us and is a constant source of wonder and awe. The sacred text of all spiritual traditions speak constantly of the stupendous magnificence of the universe and earth. of its overwhelming beauty and elegance, of its vast and diverse array of creatures, and of the incredibly complex and interdependent weave of its system. In the Jewish, Christian, and Islamic teaching, the Creator is first described as God, and the Creator is the one who creates. Creation unfolds, and the Creator, male, female, multiple sources, energy, however you envision it, the Creator responds to the creation, "I saw everything, and I made it very good." And in the book of Sirach, we find this beautiful passage. "Now I will recall God's works. As the rising sun is clear to all, so the glory of the Lord fills all his works. How beautiful are all your works. To meet each need, for each creature is preserved. All of them differ one from another, yet none of them has God made in vain. For each in turn, as it comes, is good. Can anyone ever see enough of their splendor?" Boom, light bulb goes off. Splendor. Not just splendor of the created world as in nature, forest, ocean. No, you, me, absolutely everything. Everything that spun through time and the universe to create the space dust that becomes the planet Earth that becomes us. I was having this profound connection to the you and me, the birds and the bees, all of us, and it was overwhelming and it was good. I was so happy that I had found myself again, because in finding myself again, I reconnected to all that was already present in me. You see, we all already have all of the information needed. We've all been exposed to things, the things that would make for better living. Some of us are old enough to remember the Native American in the canoe paddling up the Hudson and the tears streaking down his face. Some of us remember, "I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony." Some of us remember when Earth Day in 1970 brought hundreds of thousands together in cities across America, maybe even the globe. I wasn't thinking globally back then, but I sure remember when there was a consciousness and a dawning of idealism that we young Americans could change this society in which we find ourselves. We're going to pull down the things that separate black from white, and we're going to allow women to take their rightful place with men and lead the world that's going to be healed and transformed by our love and our vigor, our vitality, just the awe and reverence of the created universe. We're going to do this thing. Here we are, 1970. And drones and accords can't be signed, and Haiti's still destroyed. Nobody's helping like they said they were going to help, and Katrina happened, and Sandy has happened, and I see building along waterways where they ought to be just allowing weeds and grasses and trees to grow. People still want waterfront views, huh? Somebody still wants to live close to the babbling brook when the Native Americans had the good sense to build their communities away from the water. We keep engaging the water. The water's more powerful than any of us can ever even comprehend. The whole planet was underwater once, and maybe once again the planet will be submerged. I don't know. I'm not a visionary like that, but I know. I know that the waters will run their course. As I speak now, they say that the Mississippi is cresting, and there's troubles in Illinois, fear of flooding, and they're sandbagging along the river. I was just in New Orleans a couple weeks ago. Went to the First Unitarian Congregation there, and they've got an environmental justice or social justice program set up. They're asking for UUs to come on down to New Orleans and help do things that will make things better. And I say, oh, mercy, mercy me, Lord, the things ain't what they used to be. Because even though the young people are more engaged, you can look up things on the internet, you're smarter than I ever was when I was a little boy. I was stuck on stupid watching Opie Cunningham and those foolish sitcoms. You kids have so much more opportunity to engage the world than I ever did. And yet, I've got three teenage sons that are the most material creatures I've ever seen. If you give them money for a present and say, you know, save this so you can maybe get a moped when you're in college or something, they spend it on ridiculous sneakers or on T-shirts. Since when did a T-shirt cost $40 or $50? Since when was it right for those of us with a social conscience to spend money on things that we know we shouldn't be buying? Since when was it okay for us not to take care of the earth in the most profound ways, in the most intimate of ways, as we brush our teeth, turn that water faucet off, as we gather those leaves come this fall? Are we going to use them? Are we going to just let sanitation take them away? What are we doing? How are we living? Most importantly, how are you treating yourself? Is this mercy, mercy me just for creation? Marvin wants to call our attention to the birds and the fish. Maybe I want to call your attention to the outgrowth that's within you, to the spiritual encounter that lives deep inside of you, to the space dust that has formed you in the most unique and interesting way that allows you to transform not just yourself, but those around you by the renewal of your commitment to this environment, to our planet, to the seven generations yet to come. Yeah, I sing mercy, mercy me. Have mercy on me, for I'm not always as diligent as I need to be. But I'm encouraging each of us this day to do something, because as surely as I'm a man standing here before you at almost noon on this Sunday, the deserts are growing. Sinkholes are forming. Less and less fresh drinking water is available. Upstate New York, where my home resides, people were able to tap the maple trees a full month earlier than the almanac ever told us we could tap the maple trees. And yet, it's colder at night than it usually is, and we're still burning fossil fuels that we shouldn't be burning. Environmental justice, human justice, justice for planet Earth, justice for each of us. Justice means taking care of ourselves, not just what a legal system does or how we're able to say we elected a Latino president, or are we going to elect a female moderator? A black female moderator? Is that where the UUA is going? So we'll have elected a black man, a Latino, and a female of color to our most important task, and yet we still have so few ministers of color. Justice. Justice is not just about those things outside of you, but it's about the things deeply entrenched inside of you. It's about how we live out our moment by moment, day by day lives here on a planet that we're just borrowing for our 75 or 85 or 95 years, if we're lucky, right? This is about consciousness. This is about being aware of who you are and to whom you belong. From the dust we were created to the dust we shall return. Will the land that they place you in be even worthy of your bodies someday? Yes, mercy, mercy me. Things ain't what they used to be. I'm old and wrinkled and turning gray. And that's all right, because that's what it's supposed to be. But is our environment better for the 30-odd years, 40 years of Earth Day? Have we turned that corner? Has our green sanctuary in this congregation garnered enough support from all of you? I heard 6 or 7 names. Next time I'm here visiting, I want to hear there are 20 names working with that group, because there's no time to wait. We can't take a chance any longer. Everything is showing itself. It's plain as the nose is on our face. This is the time. This is the time to act. So act we must. And let me share with you these thoughts as I draw this to a close, because clearly we need to look back so we can go forward. Our ancestors, the indigenous peoples of the natural world, lived interconnected, no separation between themselves and the environment around them. They lived in a sacred universe, and virtually every notion they had about the divine or about the mystery was at the heart of their living experience. They lived with this earth as the mother of all beings and habitually spoke of nature and the earth. For them, the creative spirit was not seen as separate from the natural world or outside of their world. Rather, the creative spirit resided in them and in the world and was present and was through everything. The natural world was a spiritual reality. It was primary and revealing to their everyday activities. They had a vivid and keen sense of the divine, and it was only because they lived in the midst of such a stupendous beauty and awesome magnificence that they didn't think future generations would need to somehow be reminded. You see, when it's part and parcel of your everyday, this morning the sun broke, right? When it cast that light upon us, it's something magnificent. And Thomas Berry, cultural historian, ecologian, priest, often says that if we lived on the moon, our spiritual sensitivities would be guided by the moonscape, right? Our minds would reflect this world of arid and barren lunar landscape, because that would be what we know. But we know Mother Earth. We know this beautiful blue-green planet. We know that the same percentage of salt water that's in us is what's in the planet. We know on a deep level that we are the Earth and the Earth is us. The native people of the Badlands used to say that the Earth, the soil was literally their ancestors, because they buried their dead upon the surface of the Earth and let this skin break down, bone break down, sinew break down, just be the soil again. This notion that we live in a sacred universe permeated with spirit and mystery, this is something that we've got to recapture, because if there's going to be an environmental awakening, if Earth Day isn't a once-a-day event but an everyday event, if we're going to reconnect back to the source of ourselves, then we've got to take it to the very heart of everything we do. It's in the way we purchase shampoo and the way we eat. It's in the cars we drive and the legislators that we elect. It's about everything and everyone, and now is the time the earth cannot stand anymore. Neither can you. How many of us take pills to balance something in our body that ought to be regulated by itself? Our world is out of balance, folks. So this isn't like a dark and doomsday service. This is a wake-up service. This is a reminder service. If you're already doing the good works, then I applaud you. And I say, hallelujah, now do some more. If you're already talking to people about it, then host a party at your house. Earth Day, it's not just tomorrow, it's every day. Host that party and use all environmental things, environmentally correct things. Wake up somebody's mind, right? This is our opportunity. This is our great chance. Unitarian Universalists have never turned away from an opportunity to make a difference in this world. We've been the first for so many things. The first female minister, the first openly gay minister. We can be the first to change the communities in which we reside into environmentally correct green spaces that will be a beacon of light for future generations. Say, they did it. That generation of people. I'm not talking about the greatest generation that ever lived in the storming of Normandy. I'm talking about the transformation of an earth that's going out of balance. Water, water everywhere. I heard somebody say that World War III will be fought over fresh drinking water. Water, water everywhere, but many folks on the planet don't have enough to drink. We here in the United States have more cell phones than there are toilets around the world. People don't even have abilities to handle their stuff, right? So we've got to take this opportunity, dovetail with every environmental group you can think of that's not like so far to the fringe that you can't stomach working with them, right? Because there are people out there that you can work with, whether it's the Episcopalians who are a little, you know, easier maybe to deal with, or the Buddhists, yay, or, you know. There are people out there doing the good works that Unitarian Universalists can find common cause with, right? And so we've got to do it now. We've got to do it now because that's what our world is saying to us. We humans, as a species, may yet become extinct, right? It's possible. The dinosaurs were here a lot longer than we've been here, and they exited. And so too could the peoples of the earth. And someday, if some other life force, life forms come to this planet, what will be the legacy of our time here? Shall we be a people that were known for making mistakes, looking back over what we've done and finding the corrective actions? Or shall we be known as a people that knew we were doing wrong and without regard continued down that path? I'm a man filled with faith. I'm a man who's on fire for life. The life of this planet. I have a deep and abiding sense that we will find the way to do what's right. The first step is all it takes, folks. I wish you well on your journey. I wish this congregation every good thing. You helped nurture me. And in that nurturing, you gave me an opportunity to run. Come visit Pomona when you can, if you take a Sunday off from this fabulous place, and do the good work, because it needs to be done. Amen. John Murray told us to go out into the highways and byways and give people hope, not hell. And I'm going to encourage you to go out into your communities and give them a sense of their interconnection to this natural order, to this community, to the living, vibrating blue-green planet. Remind them that we're all made of the same space dust, and what you do to the earth or to each other is important. Remind them that what you do makes a difference, right? Blessed be.